per Signum crucis de nemicis nostris, libera nos, Deus noster. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins, and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We are celebrating the feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany means the manifestation of God who comes to save us, Jesus. Remember, Jesus means God is my Savior. Yahweh is my Savior, Joshua. We are celebrating his manifestation to the entire world. Not just manifestation as a curiosity. Look, look, he's here. It's much more than that. It's beyond that. He's here, yes, but to save us, to bring us happiness, to put meaning, the meaning in our life, the only meaning that we can find in our life. We were lost like sheep without shepherd, without orientation. And now the Lord comes. But not to some, but to all. He addresses himself to some, but not in exclusive terms. You, yes, but the others, I don't care. No. It's exactly the opposite. You, yes, you are mine, because you had to go to the others, because you are mine, and because you are my agent, because you who are listening to me, the Lord says, you are my hands, you are my lips. Through you, I want to reach out to the others. This is what puts meaning in our existence, following him. And there is no meaning in our life in exclusively pursuing anything else, anyone else, any ideology, any pursuit. Lord, I want you to be the center of my life, even if I see you so small, a little child. The smaller you become, the more I will love you. Therefore, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Because, the psalm says, the earth has yielded its fruit. For God, our God, has blessed us. He is God's blessing for us. He is our peace. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. And this is our task, the task of every Christian, to bring him to the ends of the earth, as the psalm says. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. You see how many years before Christ, they were already announcing this necessity. May the mountains bring forth peace for the people, and the hills justice. Yes, it's happiness, but he translates justice. Justice is justification, seeking God. May he defend the poor of the people and save the children of the needy and crush the oppressors. There are many kinds of oppression and discrimination against those who want to follow Jesus. They are put to shame. They are oppressed. But Jesus, he shall endure like the sun and the moon from age to age. Empires fall down. Ideologies disappear. But he will descend like rain on the meadow. Rain that vivifies and gives life. Like raindrops on the earth and make it bear fruit and blossom. In his days, justice shall flourish and peace till the moon fails. He shall rule from sea to sea. Isn't it wonderful to serve this King of ours who rules from sea to sea? Before him, his enemies shall fall, his foes lick the dust. The king of Tarshish, Tarshish is what nowadays is South Spain, Andalusia, and the sea coasts shall pay him tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall bring him gifts. Before him all kings shall fall prostrate, all nations shall serve him. It must have been a spectacle to see these important people, rich people, amazing astronomers, come from far away to adore a humble child in a humble abode whose parents are two peasants, a carpenter and his wife, in a little town of Bethlehem. What a contrast, no? So it means that he's someone. That's why the kings went there. Why did the Magi go there? Because they saw the star. And if the star obeys him, it means that he is more powerful than the star. And who is more powerful than the star? Only God. So you see, when they adore him, when we adore him, and we should adore him, we recognize that he is God. Not that he is cute, which he is, but that he is God, my God. That my life makes sense, therefore, only in him. This is what the Magi recognize. Do I recognize him as the center of my existence? The only one which brings meaning to my life, to my effort, to whatever I do. The one that points out the right direction in my life. You see how he is small, but he has to grow more and more in us. Today, that is almost the beginning of the year, we have to begin. We had to begin singing a new song to the Lord. What is this song? The song of your love. A song that wells up from within your heart in praise of him, in allegiance to him, in obedience to his will. This is the new song. It's new because we have to begin again. Am I ready? Think of it. Am I ready to begin again? A new life. Now in the line of the Lord. Now obeying him in little details. You want it, Lord. I also want it. Abraham, was promised by God, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. You look up at the sky, and you see the entire sky in a clear night, strewn with stars, each one with its own brilliance, with its own intensity, with its own location, but covering the entire sky. Abraham was not told that his descendants will be just his children from his flesh, but God pointed up to the sky, meaning your descendants will be from God, not descendant from the flesh. Descendants from the flesh of Abraham are only, obviously, the Jews. So God was referring not only to the Jews, but to the stars that cover the sky. So God was implying that God was going to be the initiator, the father, the emissary of God for all peoples of the world. And there we are included. There you are included. You must be one of these stars. That's why we invoke Abraham as our father in the faith. In the faith because we believe in God. And God promised him that we will be numerous. The people of God has been expanded. And the entire mankind fits in. We are there in the sky. It's because God wanted it in the sky. Not because of the flesh. Well, I have been born a Jew, so I have to be a Jew. No. It's because God wanted it, so I have to belong to God, who has placed me there in the sky. In other words, you are God's family. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. Each Christian is. And we have to live this family spirit. We belong to Him, to Jesus, to God, who has placed us there, up there. He promised Abraham, and He fulfills it today, here, in you and me. Do I feel as God's family? Do I feel as a child of God? Do I feel one of those promised to Abraham? But God promised Abraham also that all of us, on the other hand, also we are going to be like the grains of sand in the beaches. Imagine a beach, plenty of sand. There we are. What did you notice? That the sand is here and the sea is there. They are side by side, but they are not confused. The sea tries to cover the beach, but then it had to withdraw. The sea signifies the enemies of God, the tempest, the storms, death, death of the soul, sin, the monsters of the sea. And the sand means firm land, dry land, where people can live, where plants can grow and bear fruit. So each one of us, apart from coming from God, God is telling Abraham, and is fulfilled in the promise of the three kings, we are one of these grains of sand. Means we have to maintain ourselves in the world. That's it. We cannot be flying in the clouds. We have to be in the world, in the beach. That salvation is universal. This is what Opus Dei is all about. Yes. Our calling is from God. But our feet have to be very much anchored in the land, in the beach, in the sun. Keep them away the temptation of the storms, of the tempest, not allowing ourselves to sink in the sea, but maintaining ourselves dry, dry for the Lord, dry to bear fruit. The Lord comes. The evangelist in Luke tells us the kingdom of heaven is in the midst of yours, is in your midst. He doesn't say it will come sometime in the future. He says, is, therefore, now in your midst. This is our life. How is it that the kingdom of God is in our midst, here? Well, the evangelist is describing the beauty of the life of grace. Children of God live their lives in the state of grace, the grace of God. This is the kingdom of God in me. That's why we desire it. Thy kingdom come, we say, every day, constantly. Means, Lord, never allow me to be separated from you. Let me always remain in you. And this is the beauty in our life, the life of grace. But what is a grace? Is it something that comes in cans, in packages? What color is it? No. Grace is a word, just a word, to describe something which is real. What is the reality that grace points out to? The reality is, right now, you who are listening to me, right now, the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, is in you. It's equivalent to say, you are in the state of grace. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And not just in an honorific manner, like when a person appears there in public with a civil medal decoration and the Medal of Honor or La Légion d'honneur in France or Order of Merit. Well, yeah, you have the medal, and so what? The medal is a piece of metal, frankly speaking. It doesn't move. It doesn't produce anything. It's just a visual prop. No, the Holy Spirit is in you, active right now. Holy Spirit is in you right now, helping you to understand what we are contemplating. Helping you, when you look at the child Jesus, is helping you to say, I love you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he is doing. Is conducting you, is helping you to go to Jesus constantly, helping you to be identified with him constantly. And this is the kingdom of God in you. A kingdom of God that cannot remain within the walls of your personal intimacy. No, the kingdom of God that is to be to all. There is no star surrounded by a wall in the sky or a line. No. It's the entire universe is our field. These are our customers, we might say. The entire sky. So the kingdom of God begins in you because the Holy Spirit is in you, but compels you, the need to get out of yourself. This is what we celebrate. Come, Lord Jesus, stay with us. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is communion with this little child who is Jesus the Lord. Communion means common union. Am I united to him? Who is he for me? What am I for him? Am I ready to sing a new song? To leave behind what doesn't fit? Does this communion? Lord, remain in my heart. Remain in our heart. Why our? Because He is the one who puts us together. Congregavit nos in unum Christi amor. It's the love of Jesus that brings us together. Sorry, and nothing else. So, take it easy if you want to build a philanthropic kind of community of men. Yeah, you can try, but yes, it's good. Yeah, frankly speaking. But ultimately, if you exclude Jesus, you exclude the fundamental element of that union. That would be ephemeral, short-lived. It's the grace of God, that is the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God that makes us participate in the life of God. Think of it. Think of it now. I am sharing God's life. Yeah, God who is in heaven. He makes us share his life. It's the Holy Spirit who is making me a child of his. The child has the blood and flesh of his parents. You have the life that the Holy Spirit has inserted in you in baptism. And now he's enkindling. He's now trying to put more fire in that love. He's now trying to maintain you united to him. This is charity, the love of God. You see, charity is a fire. Fire is active. You cannot put fire in the refrigerator and open it for the next day. No, fire has to be burning, right? Yeah, he consumes himself. We have to consume ourselves, but it's burning continuously, but giving heat, that is love. Giving light, that is the light of faith. Is this fire, this love, is this kingdom of God in us, the Holy Spirit, who maintains us united to God and gives us hope to continue our pilgrimage on this earth? We are wayfarers in life, right? We have seen how many friends of ours have ended their existence with this pandemia, but we are still on the road. We are still wayfarers. So we have to be comforted with hope that we will reach the end in the hands of God. So charity, the love of God, maintains us in the hope. And meanwhile, it radiates that splendor of the faith that we have to spread around, because you are the luminary. You are a candle of God, a candle that had to be lit, not a candle that was lit, but now it's off. Am I burning, giving light, giving warmth to the world around me? not only to distant countries, but to the persons closest to me, the persons I live with. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, and it's the joy of our life, the only joy, the fundamental joy. And all the other joys have to be subordinated and flow from this, or else they are fake. They will not last. Do I receive this gift? The gift of God. This gratuitous gift, otherwise it will not be a gift, it will be a payment. Do I preserve this gift? Do I cherish it? Do I keep it with affection? Saint Jose Maria Escrivá tells us, my child, allow me to ask you, do you love the grace of God? It has a profound theological. Do you love the grace of God? Means, do you love the consideration that the Holy Spirit is now inside you, talking to you, suggesting things to you? Do you love it? Love is not more, it's affection, yes, but more than that is obedience. Do you try that grace may grow in your soul day after day? Means, do you try to be more obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do you sing a new song every day? Do you know how to correspond with generosity to the suggestions of the Holy Spirit? The Magi saw the star, like everybody else in their community of astronomers, I guess. But only they, the three of them, or whenever, as many as they were, only the three of them felt and moved, felt the obedience to obey, and executed it. They left for the desert. You see, the obedience to faith. It's not just to say, oh, how beautiful the star. It's amazing, no? What the wonderful things is happening. No, they actually committed their life to the meaning of that star. Am I committing my life every day, beginning again, singing that new song every day to the star, to the Holy Spirit, to the grace of God, because the star points out to something else, which is the target of our love, Jesus Christ, our Lord, God in us, God who comes to save us, Jesus. And how can I do this? Well, God, you know, has instituted the sacraments to maintain us united to Him, to increase that awareness of the Holy Spirit in us, so the grace is increased through the sacrament and through prayer. And we concretize it with the norms of piety that are like indicators. You know, sometimes when you drive in the road, developed countries, when there is a curb there, on the side, you see arrows, indicators there, like barriers telling us, careful that the road is turning left. You see it in front of you and you prepare yourself to turn towards the left or towards the right. This is the role of the norms of piety. Help us to continue walking in this pilgrimage of our life without getting off the road, which is sin. That will be infidelity. That will imply an accident and therefore death. And God doesn't want you to end your connection with Him. that increasing of the Holy Spirit in us, that increasing in grace, is also done and mainly done in the Mass, in the Eucharist, which is the central of all the sacraments. In that intimate and personal union with Jesus, my love, in communion. Let us continue this new year seeking Christ. Seeking Christ. First of all, in the innermost sanctuary of your soul, because the Holy Spirit is there. Seek Him where He is, where He has chosen to be. But also seek Him. Seek the face of Jesus in the others by serving, by giving yourself to the others, living presence of God throughout the day. Precisely, prayer, the aspiration, help you to live constantly with that awareness. That awareness that He is in you and you want to live in Him. Mani nobiscum, Domine, remain with us. Don't allow ever to separate myself from you. Help me to remain always in you as our Mother the Virgin remained always beside Jesus. Even when physically she was away, she was united to Jesus. This is the way we have to do, all of us, constantly. Renewing that song. You are singing. But isn't it true that sometimes you get distracted while singing in the choir? Well, renew that new song. Renew that awareness. I am singing a new song, no matter what I do. In the day, in the night, when I work, when I rest, when I just relax, I am singing a new song to God, my Savior. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them.